One of the interesting things about churches, not just Western churches, but I assume pretty much all kinds of churches, is there comes a time in the service with what we'll call the teaching or the preaching, the time of the sermon, the exposition, however it is you want to call what the minister does. And these are in two general categories you will experience. One will be topical kinds of preaching, and the other will be through the Bible expositional kinds of teaching or preaching. Topical preaching is usually addressing some kind of evangelical concern or doctrine. You pick a topic. You want to educate the folks about this topic, and so you search the Word of God for everything relative to that topic, and that's how you develop. Probably what I used for most of my ministry was topical preaching up until we started going through the Bible expositionally, and since we don't want to take 5 years, we've been taking 1 year to go through the Scripture, which we grab the text for that week, and then I try to expound upon some aspect of that. So that's what we've been doing, with the understanding that we're on a camino, we're on a path. We are asking God to show us His will, to show us the way to walk, and to keep us safe. And that's what we've been doing. Well, this week I got in. I was doing the weekly read as normal, but I got stopped. And this morning I'm going to kind of take a bit of a detour off our camino. It doesn't mean we're changing the plan at all, the reading plan in the bulletin. We're going to stay with that, and probably next week we'll be right back on track. But we're going to take a little bit of a detour today because I want to address a topic. And I'm not suggesting that one form of study is better than another. Topical preaching is kind of like taking a camino through a city. You've got to be very specific and make sure you're right. You know when you're turning left and when you're turning right. You've got a topic. Whereas the expository is kind of more like being on an adventure out in the countryside. You can be more global. But this week, this question came into my mind. This is what I'd like you to try and answer. Are you ready? May we have a drum roll? Thank you. And don't everyone talk at once. Can a Christian learn forgiveness? My instant thought was, well, of course. He'd better. And then I began to ponder this word forgiveness. And let's take a go of it. If you are going to give me a definition of the word forgiveness, I'm not looking for the Greek definition. I'm not asking for your Bible exposition. I'm just asking for your understanding of the word forgiveness, or what it means to forgive, in the back. Accepting God's grace, giving it to someone, passing it on to someone else, okay? Oh, okay, looking at the human relationship and saying that that relationship is more important than how I'm offended or offended them. Cool. Yes, ma'am. Hey, howdy. Overlooking an offense in what? Hey, hallelujah. I kind of like that part. Anyone else? Are these kind of capturing our general understanding of what it means to forgive? She said she was very happy being unhappy, bitter, angry, whatever, getting even with your emotions. So do you think forgiveness is a big deal? Is it what we would call one of the big deal doctrines? I mean, there's a few, aren't there? There's a few doctrines, teachings in the Word of God that we would say this is big. And forgiveness, we would agree, is big. So the word forgive is used 23 times in the New Testament. Used a whole bunch in the Old Testament also. But in the New Testament, it's used, the word forgive is used 23 times. You might be interested to know it's used with three different Greek words, all which pretty much mean about the same thing, although they have some profound shaping to the different words. Here's what we are to forgive. You'll understand this list. We are to forgive debts. Debts. D-E-B-T-S. What's a debt? Something you owe or something that is owed to you? You are to forgive debts. That which you're to forgive a trespass. What is a trespass? Think of it. Just think of it out in the farm. No trespassing. What does it mean to trespass? What? A violation of some kind of your property? Your boundary? To violate your boundary. Say again? Going on to somebody else's property. In other words, going off of your boundary onto theirs. Therefore, if I were to say, Don, I hope you will always be nice to me.
Now, that's public policy.
Public policy. We are to forgive debts, trespasses. Well, the biggie, of course, we are to forgive sin or sins. Sin. Do we know what sin is? That's another fairly big one. Sin. Anybody want to take a definition of sin? Yes, ma'am.
Sin means without.
Without. To sin is to be without what? To sin, I like the definition. I'm not disputing, but I like the definition to miss the mark. Because God has a goal for us. God has a target he wants us to hit. He has a place he wants us to be, correct? And if we miss that, that's sin. Now, there's a whole list of sins that are way out there. But you can't be without if you don't know what with is. Right? So to be without God would be the ultimate sin. Right? To reject God. Yes?
I think sin can only be defined as being something against God. Many things are bad in people's eyes,
okay. So it gets bigger, doesn't it? This understanding of to forgive that which is owed me, to forgive a boundary that's been violated, to forgive sin. There's the old English word ought. If you have ought against someone, would it mean to say, I have ought against Steve? What would I be saying? Yeah. Somehow Steve has upset me, so I have ought with him. To have an ought. Another one is judgment and condemnation. We are to forgive. The word that's used is used relative to judgment and condemnation. So let's just make this very clear. If you violate the law, that we'll call a crime. Correct? Big or little isn't the issue here. There's a law. You break the law. You violate the law, so that's a crime. So then an allegation is brought against you, correct? And then evidence is gathered. This is called a trial. Evidence is gathered and presented. Defense is made or not made. And then a verdict is rendered, correct? And the court or the judge determines guilt or innocence, correct? If guilt is determined, so if a crime has been committed, evidence supports the crime was committed, person confesses the crime's committed, judgment, or there's guilt, that's the judgment, there's guilt, then what's the next phase after judgment? Condemnation. Condemnation. That is the assigning of penalty. That's what condemnation is, the assignment of penalty. Now, in legal terms, this is very common. We all know about this. We all try to break the law and not get caught. And when we get caught, if we have to pay the ticket, we pay the ticket because, well, you got me. There I am, you know, on the camera, whatever. What does it mean in biblical terms when Jesus says to forgive? Because forgive, the word forgive is uniquely tied to the whole process of condemnation. What did Jesus say about condemnation? Can we quote it? There is, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
First worship him, then there's get right with your brother, and then there's get at the end you get to what you want to take care of me. But in the process of it, you have to get right with God by forgiving others.
Forgive us our debts or our trespasses or our sins or our violations of boundary. Forgive us our screw-ups. Forgive us our shortcomings. Fill in the word. As we do what? Oh, so I'm to pray to God, because Jesus said I'm to pray this prayer. I am to ask God to forgive me. Really? Do you want forgiveness? Well, so I'm selfish. I want forgiveness. That's not as I forgive others. To simplify the understanding of what forgive might mean, the very first definition out of the Greek word is to send away. To be without is very close, right? To be without. But it's to be without that was with, right? You can't be without if there's not a with. To send away means to send away from some central thing. So if you have offended me and I hold that offense against you, that's not forgiving, is it? And what happens to the relationship if I hold on to that offense? Huh? Come on, you all are experts at this. What happens when you hold on to an offense? And you become better at holding on to the offense. You get better at being bitter.
And it may result in your death.
Can result. Biblically, it says. Right. This is a pretty big deal. This whole business of forgiveness is a pretty big deal. And I think Norma eloquently said for all of us how we too often treat the offenses that have happened to us. as we start enjoying them. What is it within us that likes grinding away in anger at someone else? Yeah, but we are trying to empower ourselves, right? And if somebody is wronged me and I'm looking for a way to get even, I will practice all kinds of ways to think about how they've wronged me. And I'll be very eloquent in telling others how they have wronged me. Exactly. And it feeds a part of us that is almost insatiable. To send away, the other definition of forgive, because I have to keep this simple. If it gets too theological, it just gets too wordy. How about this one? To set free. To set free. To forgive sets who free? Exactly. Exactly. I put up the no trespassing sign because I'm tired of my property being violated. I'm tired of your animals coming over on my property and ruining my fence or trampling my crops or whatever it is. So I put up the no trespassing sign to protect myself. Yes? And as long as you respect that boundary, everybody's happy in the hood. When that gets violated, I get upset because now I'm being economically damaged, but also you're violating my personhood because I told you don't do this. And what does Jesus, not what does the law say, not what does Washington County say, what does Jesus say we are to do? Folks, this is big. Has anybody ever wronged you in such a way that you got upset and you found out just a little bit later that it was done unknowingly by them? Correct? In other words, it was not intentional, nor did they even know they'd done it. Any married people in the room? Do you think a husband ever upsets a wife without knowing it? Men? Does a wife ever upset the husband?
No.
No. We are the only ones who do the upsetting. Is that it, Michael? Can a Christian learn forgiveness? He'd better. There are three main applications for forgiveness. You're probably way ahead of me on this, but here are the three main ones. God forgives me. Say it with me. God forgives me. You're a good, good father. That's who you are. That's who you are. And I'm loved by you. That's who I am. Wow. Forgiveness. God forgives me. First application. Second application is, I forgive others. And I wrote in my notes, I forgive others. Say that with me. I forgive others. I didn't say I want to forgive others. I didn't say I should forgive others. I didn't say I'm going to forgive others. I said, I forgive others. And the third one, of course, is I forgive myself. Now, this is a big deal. I don't know which of the three is most important in your life. Maybe they're all three equal at any point in time, but we have to understand that God loves us so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, to pay the penalty for our sin, to take care of all of the legal transaction that had to happen. Yes, he is a just God. Yes, there is a penalty for sin, and yes, it happened on that cross. So God forgives me through Jesus Christ. Amen? I forgive others. I will forgive others. I need to forgive others. I should forgive others. I must forgive others. I can forgive others. What word do you want to put before it? How about just say, I forgive others. And the third one, can you forgive yourself? Can you be in that state of forgiveness where you are no longer penalizing yourself? Wow. This is really big. You're no longer penalizing yourself for something that happened. We've had people killing other people in America recently. Movie theaters, all kinds of places, people have been killing people, and then they get caught, and then they go on trial, and then they show not only the people that committed the crime, but then they show the family of the victims, yes? And I don't know why these sensational reporters, but they want to try and find out what the family thinks. And sometimes the family is so broken and contrite and just in pain, but sometimes that family is bitter and angry and send them to hell, send them to the, you know, hangman's noose. I mean, that's a very normal human understanding. Yes? Jesus is not a normal human. He's a fully human God. And he comes and he says to all of us, forgive. Who of us have been offended anything like what? Would someone open their Bibles, or two or three, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, just verse 20. Ephesians 4, verse 20. The question I asked myself was, can a Christian learn forgiveness? We've had a thorough understanding of what forgiveness is. We all instantly understand how at times we hold on to things that we shouldn't. So far, so good. We're in unity, right? But how do we overcome Norma's problem? How do we overcome that desire to get even, or that desire to be vindicated, or that desire to see some justice that we couldn't mend out? How do we learn this thing called forgiveness, which we agree is so good, and yet we have such a hard time for? And so I was wrestling with this as a minister of good news. I want to minister to you good news, not frustration. I don't want you all tied up and saying, oh, we can't do it. And then I ran across Ephesians 4:20. So, Tom, what translation do you have there? New International, NIV?
No, New English.
New English, let's hear it.
But that is not the way you
learned
Christ.
Don?
That is not how you learned about the Messiah.
That is not how you learned about the Messiah. Any other translations? Okay.
You, however, did not come to know
you did not come to know Christ that way. You see, the reason that was my favorite, because it connects us to the Camino, right? This is not the path. Jesus Christ is not some kind of mental ascent, right? Christianity, Jesus, this is not some mental, intellectual thing we are on. Correct? Jesus Christ is an indwelling takeover. One who transforms who? Can you say me? Jesus transforms me. So I am like Norma's thinking, and yet Christ will transform me. Is that possible? See, there's the answer to the do the impossible. How can I learn forgiveness? Because I'm going to learn Jesus Christ. I'm going to learn all about how Jesus would do something. And folks, there's where the crisis comes. Because I can read the Word of God, I can see the path that He's on, I can understand how He looks at stuff, and then I have to make a decision. Just like Peter and James and all of them had to make the decision. Do I follow Him, or do I go my own way? Isn't that what it's all about, church? Do I follow Jesus Christ? Or do I say, I'll catch up with you later. Right now I'm going to grind out a little vindication. That's how we are learning Christ. And there's none of us in the room that have got it all learned. What a great question. How have you learned Christ? You might think about that this week. You might journal that some this week. You might spend some time this coming week just trying to answer the question, how is it that I have learned Jesus Christ? Not how you've learned about Him. How have you learned Him? How has He transformed you? How has He come into you? What is His Spirit saying to you? And I submit to you that this will be in great conflict with what the world wants to teach us. But that's what we're all about, isn't it? We're here to be victorious over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Correct? And the way we have that victory is in Jesus Christ. What have you learned from Him about how to live this life? That's your homework assignment. It's not a religion. It's not a religious study. It's a discovery of life and how to live life. Okay, so if you are listening by tape, the stone that you should keep casting is the stone of forgiveness. Not the stone of remembrance. And that as you forgive, the ripples of the water will reach out and cover even increasing numbers of offenses. I say to you again, this is a big deal. This is a big deal in my life. It's a big deal in your life. If we do not learn forgiveness, we're going to reap what bitterness brings us. We're going to reap what anxiety brings us. All the things that happen because we haven't forgiven. And what I'm learning about Jesus is that He comes along and says to me things like, forget about it. And I am very quick to tell Him why we shouldn't forget about it. And He says, what good's it going to do you? She says it's easier to look ahead and be positive. If you have a positive nature looking ahead. And that's good. So that would be the topic of a whole new subject about looking ahead and handling change, because for some people change is a very fear-producing thought, not a hopeful, excited adventure. For some people, change is pretty hard to look at. Here is what the blessing is that I would give you for the benediction. Because I want you to do your homework this week. I want you to ponder the question about forgiveness and how you've learned Christ. Here's what it says. The Eternal One bless and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Eternal lift up his countenance to look upon you and give you peace. Peace to Dayspring this coming week. Amen? Amen. God bless you.